Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gonna ball, yeah, I'm gonna be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
Welcome to another Wednesday here on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. We got a spectacular show for you. We're going to talk a little Aaron Hernandez and his lawsuit, the situation that's going on with his life. We're going to talk maybe this thing with Tim Tebow wasn't foresight for the New England Patriots. I think New England, and here we go, Belichick, the genius that he is, finds another way to make sure that he makes sure that his team is in the best situation. We're going to get into a little bit of that, and we're going to see why Tim Tebow was probably bought in because of a lot of things that is going on with the New England Patriots at the tight end position. We'll get into that later in the show. We're going to talk a little Heat Spurs, buzzer beater, overtime. Ocho Cinco, we'll hit a little bit on his free man syndrome. Brandon Powell, new commit for the Tennessee Vols. Four-star athlete Brandon Powell commits to the Tennessee Vols. He will come up on the show at about 8:13. He's going to talk about his spectacular visit to Knoxville and what made him decide to become a Tennessee Vol. This is a young man that had numerous, you would say 30-something offers. And he decides, after taking a weekend trip to visit some schools with him and his dad, he decides he could not leave Knoxville without letting the fans of Knoxville know that he is and would love to be a Tennessee Vol. A Tennessee Vol. He came back with his Tennessee gear on. Proud young man, a young man that has worked hard. Here we are. We're talking about a young man in high school that is a 4.1 student. I know it was tough for me to become a 3.0 student. I never even accomplished that, let alone a 3.0. Here he is. This kid is a 4.1 student. That is a great student athlete. That is what we call being a student athlete. And jump to another student athlete. Let's talk a little bit about, and you're going to hear, we get into this discussion, me and Mr. Beers, if we talk Johnny Manziel. As everyone know, Johnny Manziel tweeted something. And this is why I got to tell a lot of guys, be careful of what you're tweeting, especially a guy of his stature, a guy that's an Heisman Trophy winner. It's tough to tweet something and then go and take it back. Because now the fans read this, because I'm quite sure he has a lot of fans when it comes to his Twitter page, a lot of followers. I think, you know, his followers, the numbers is, you know, through the roof. I think he has over 360 something followers. That's crazy. 360 some followers, and to tweet something and then come back and recant what you just tweeted, I think was tough for this young man. I think this Heisman life might be tough on a young man that's still in school and still have years in school. And I think this has been a strain on this young man. But then we're also going to get back into, now earlier they spoke that the Clippers and the Celtic talk broke off. And that's been the big talk now with Doc Rivers, as we talked about last week here on the Tony Sands Show. We talked about how Doc Rivers and Kevin Garnett could possibly be heading to Clippers. And I am a Celtics fan. I'm, you know, my show is here. We're live here in the nation, but I am based out of South Florida, and I love myself some Boston Celtics. I love the Celtics. Michael Dunn was a big Celtic. He was the first Celtics fan that I ever even knew of, because that was in the days of Larry Bird. And some of the kids now living don't even know who Larry Bird is, and a lot of them don't even really understand. As I talk to young men every day, I talk to them and I ask them about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, to some of them, they've never seen him play, because so they never know how truly great he is, because they never got a chance to see him play. They speak that LeBron is the best in the world. And watching that game last night, it kind of made me question, truly, if LeBron James is a closer like the great Michael Jordan was. Michael Jordan was a great closer. But we're going to get in a little later into that in the show. I don't want to feed you that now. I want you to come and stay here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to go to a commercial break, and then my main man, Mr. Bibb, joins the Tony Sands Show as we get deep into those topics. Stay tuned. Don't go nowhere. We're going to head on to a commercial break. Bibb's come back with us, and we're going to dig into this feast of topics here on the Tony Sands Show.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G. Strange when you're raised in a dope pole. No food if you can't get your dope sold. My uncle just died and it can't be. Tell me this, who made it? It's already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. Stress get thick, but I won't fold. Devil hoping that I switch, but I won't go. Riding in my whip, I'm lonely. On the side of the Lord, where I'm gon' be. Swerve, but I take back control. Home time, looking back at the popo. Shots smell blood in the blue sea. In the streets, they'll kill for a hoozy. It was already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. Straight to the top, that's for show. Two clocks, two texts, and a fofo. Equipped for the snakes and the phonies. Either keep it close.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands, and joining me is my main man, my co-host, Mr. Bibb. What's up, B? What's going on? What's happening, man?
Man, you know, I'm extremely blessed, Tony. You know, I can't got no complaints over here.
Man, I don't know if you might not have no complaints, but Johnny Manziel have plenty of complaints about Aggieville. What is going on with Johnny Manziel out in Dallas, man? What is happening with that situation?
I know what's happening is a lot of backlash coming from that tweet that he posted. And I mean, at the end of the day, I just honestly feel like he just immature kid still, you know, still learning. You can't put you're not allowed to put. I mean, I won't say you're not allowed to, but having the stature that he has, Heisman Trophy winner, you know, 11 game win at Texas A&M. Can't tell you the last time Texas A&M won 11 games. You know, he has a pretty big status in the state of Texas, and for him to write that, you know, about being in A-land or, you know, I just kind of feel like it was an immature act of him. You know, people love and support Johnny Manziel like their own brother or sister, mother or father in Texas or in Texas A&M. And for you to, you know, be ready to act, to absolutely just leave A-land like what he stated, kind of slap in the face to his fans, I would believe. But like I said, I think he's just, you know, an immature kid, still, you know, learning how to, you know, take in everything that's coming to him. You know, it was a mistake, honestly, I believe, but he can't make that mistake anymore. That was a trouble statement.
Now, you said, and we talk about this because we talk about a lot of kids and we bring kids on. We're going to bring another student athlete on the show that just committed to the Tennessee Vols about 8:13. But let's talk about Johnny Manziel here. We're talking about him, and Manziel said, like you stated, he's ready to get out. He can't wait to leave College Station whenever it may be. Now, when I look at it, people got to understand, Johnny Manziel, here we are, this young man, had a spectacular season, a season I think that A&M probably haven't seen out of an athlete in since ever. His existence.
Ever.
Yeah, you know what I mean, since his existence. Now, here this young man go, young guy, and I say a young student athlete because here it is, in one season you do that. Johnny Manziel won the Heisman Trophy, people. Here we are, a young man of his stature, not too far removed from high school, and he wins the Heisman Trophy here on a college campus such as A&M, major football school, major football state. And he still has that immature thing that still follows. And I don't, you know, and I take that back. I'm not going to say he's immature. I must say this much from my standpoint. I think that here he is. I think this media pressure is too big for him. Right now, you very rarely find Heisman trophies that win a Heisman trophy at his age, and then all of a sudden you still got to come back to that university and deal with being this social media. A lot of things wouldn't get out when people say it, but and maybe people are taking out of context what he's saying. He might be saying, hey, I can't wait to get to the next level. I want to enjoy the fruits of the next level. But I think it probably the way he tweeted it pissed some fans off in Aggieville. And to me, if it pissed some fans off in Aggieville, it only made the people in Austin
happier.
Use that as fuel to fire to recruits.
Right, to recruits. Right.
Because don't think University of Texas coaches and people are not saying, ah, you see, here he is. He's a Heisman Trophy candidate. The best of all worlds. And he doesn't like living in Aggieville. Now, what would you as a student like? Why would you want to go there? The Heisman Trophy guy don't even want to be there. And I think that's where this backlash, I think, is also coming from. But I also think this stage is too big for Johnny Manziel. And I don't know if they took the time to research this thing here enough to get him the points of understanding this social media and how this thing could turn on him so fast. Now, I'm going to be curious to see when they come out in August what the fanfare is going to be like for Johnny Manziel. I think he's – sometimes you can piss some people off so bad that it's tough to get that love back, because they always, in the back of their mind, is saying to themselves, do he really, really want to be here? And if he don't want to be here – we don't want him here. But I think this limelight has gotten the best of Johnny Manziel. You're seeing him throwing out baseballs at baseball games, sitting courtside at basketball games at the Dallas Mavericks. Has this stage become too big for a college student athlete? And you know how many followers he has. Now, Bibbs, you know, they're saying this guy has over 360,000-plus followers.
360, yep. And I know, just to go back to what you said about him going back to Texas A&M and possibly having, you know, people not willing to forgive him for what he said. I honestly don't think he'll have that big of an issue coming back. Texas A&M has never, ever had an athlete of this caliber on their football team. And they've, like I said earlier, they haven't had a season as great of a season that they had last year that I could ever remember, maybe before my time. So with that being said, and how good of an athlete he is and what he did for that school, that program this past season, I think people will forget very quick what about that tweet as long as he's winning football games. If he's winning football games and he's putting more and more fans in the stands and beating Alabama's and the LSU's of the world, Florida's, if he can, they won't hate him for long. They'll get over it pretty fast. That's typically how it goes in sports. If you win games for me, I have no problem with you.
That's true. That is true. Winning conquers everything. So Johnny Manziel, you need to win. But going from Johnny Manziel, I have a student athlete on the line, ready to go. A young man that has turned heads throughout the nation, B. This guy, when I say spectacular, people, you need to go to YouTube. I'm telling you, go to YouTube and look up Brandon Powell and watch the highlight on this young man. Because guess what? He, too, will see Johnny Manziel next year. Not this upcoming football season, because he still got to play some high school business that he got to take care of. But in January, this young man will be heading off to become a Tennessee Vol. Welcome to the Tony Sands Show, Brandon Powell. What's happening, man?
Not much. What's up, man?
Man, I'm enjoying the fruits of my labor, as I consider you guys the fruits of my labor. This is, B, I'm going to tell you something. I've trained this young man since, oh, man. Brandon, how long has it been?
It's been since I was like 7 years old. I've been starting training with you.
And now, B, this young man had a spectacular weekend. Now, him and his dad jumped out on the road and visited some schools and visited some stops, and it was one stop he could not turn down. Brandon, let me know, and if anyone want to call the store and talk to Brandon Powell here at 888-429-5471, that's 888-429-5471 here on the Tony Sands Show. We're talking to Brandon Powell, newly committed volunteer, SEC. Brandon, tell me this. Now, walk me through your weekend when you and your dad set out to look at some schools. Were you looking to commit at that time?
No, I was just looking up to go visit a couple of schools and then just come back home, narrow it down, sit down with my family, and just talk over it before I make my decision. I was actually planning on submitting next month in July.
Mm-hmm.
But going up Tennessee, seeing everything that they showed me, meeting all the coaches, there was no way I could pass that up.
Now, you know, we have radio listeners, so their ear gate is wide open. So give us a little idea of what was your first stop at first? What was your first stop?
My first stop was Auburn University.
Okay. And you enjoyed that trip also, correct?
Yeah, I enjoyed it too.
And then you guys you and your dad left there and headed up to Knoxville, Tennessee, correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, when you arrived in Knoxville, walk my listeners through what was going through your mind when you left Auburn all the way till you got to Knoxville, Tennessee. What was on your mind?
Well, you know, when I left Auburn, they told me, you know, I'd never been to a college visit or visit another school like that, so it was something different going out of state. And then leaving Auburn, I was like, man, this is a place, a good place. I can see myself playing in their type of offense in the SEC. But then getting to Tennessee, everything, I was still all on Auburn and everything. But once I got there, I just wanted to see the campus and everything first. But they showed me a good time.
Showed you what major college football is all about and how. Walk me through the facility. Come on, talk to me now. People are seeing on Facebook and if they're seeing on Twitter, and you have a lot of Twitter fans. What have life been like when you stepped on that campus? Walk me through the locker room. Walk me through the facilities. What caught your eye to make you not leave Tennessee, committed to Tennessee?
Well, I mean, even before I even stepped on campus, you know, I tweeted out going to visit Tennessee, and the fans went crazy. Everybody tweeting me, everybody following me, saying, come on, man, be a Vol and all that. Then getting on the campus, seeing the facilities, the indoor stadium, the weight room, the locker room, and then especially going to that stadium, man, I think it's huge. One of the biggest stadiums in the nation. I mean, you can't pass that up.
What do they call it? Rocket Talk?
Yeah, Rocket Talk.
Hey, B, man, hey, listen now. You know he has to come through some of those, one of your schools in Texas, man. What do you tell a guy that's got to face A&M?
Well, he's an offensive player, so you know, Texas A&M defense I wouldn't say they had one of the best defenses in the country last year, but them big boys gonna be ready for you, man. That's all I can tell you. I'm sitting here looking at your highlight tape as we speaking. You got a nice game, like Tony. Hey, Tony, you did good with this one. That's all I can tell you, man. Tony did good with this one.
Let me tell you, man, the pleasure that I've had and I started working with, you know, the greats of like a Michael Irvin and Al Harris and things like that. This guy works harder than any athlete I've been associated with. Now if we was doing a video and folks listen, for those that listen, we are coming out with the day in the life of Brandon Powell to where you're gonna get a chance to see what Brandon Powell do on a daily basis this summer. And it's already been a grueling summer for him with the trips. And walk someone through a day in the life of Brandon Powell from the time you lay down to the time you get up on a typical, starting out on your typical Monday. What is your schedule like? So that way people really get a grasp of how hard of a worker that you are.
Waking up first. Start off the day waking up 4:30 in the morning for 5 a.m. weightlifting with Tony Sands in the gym. We've been there for about an hour and a half or so. Then after the weight room, we go to the field at 8:30, get up to the field, workout in, condition, you know, everything. And then we finish that about around 11:30. Then after that, catch some balls on the ball machine, catch about 100 balls, and work on some punt return, catching balls out of the machine too. Then I don't get home about 1 o'clock, 1:30. Then I have to wake up in another 2 hours at 3:30 for football practice and go through all that and don't get home about 6 o'clock at night. Then just have to go home, eat, go to sleep, and wake up and start it all over again.
Now Biff, you heard what he said. You saw that schedule.
I'm listening to that.
You hear that, right? This is a young man. I'm going to tell you something. When we say student-athlete, B, student-athlete, 4.1 GPA.
Hey, that's always amazing, man. I tell all my kids that, you know, make sure you got those grades right because you never know how far football is going to take you. But that brain of yours up there will take you as far as you want it to, you know? So 4.1 GPA, I never got close to a 4.1 GPA, similar to what Tony said earlier. But, you know.
Hey, you tell
everybody not able to be an athlete and be super smart in the classroom like that. I was always smart enough, but, you know, to carry a 4.1 GPA, man, you probably could have gotten to school on an academic scholarship. You know what I'm saying? Not just an athletic scholarship, you know? That's great, though. Your parents did good with you in the classroom, man, and you keep that up, bro.
And B, I'm going to tell you something. Brandon, when I thought about my opening and closing song to my show, every time I think about this song, I think about you. My producer, I'm going to have my producer play a little bit of this song because I think we got to hear it. I think we got to play a little bit of this song because this song reminds me a little bit of you. I'm going to let him play it before we go off the air with you. I wanted you to hear a little bit of this song. Producer, do we got that Rise to the Top song ready to go. Let's play a little bit, because I want you to hear this, and we're going to meditate it, because this is a song I'm going to use when we put together your day in the life of Brandon Powell. Check this song out.
It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm going ball, yeah, I'm going be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raising the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G. Strange when you're raised in a dope hole. No food if you can't get your dope sold. My uncle just died and it can't be. Tell me this, who made it? I already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Stress get thick, but I won't fold. Devil hoping that I switch, but I won't go. Riding in my whip, I'm lonely. On the side of the Lord, where I'm gon' be. Swerve, but I take back control. Whole time looking back at the popo. Shots smell blood in the blue sea. In the streets, they'll kill for a Aussie. Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I will rise to the top.
Now, you're back here on the Tony Sands Show. Brandon, I had to play a song because and people, why you say, why do you match that song up with the kid? And people got to understand now, Brandon's raised up in the city of Deerfield Beach, Florida, which is a hot city, folks, a hot, hot city when it comes to some of the violence that have taken over this city. And here it is, a young man within this is able to get out of this and taken out of this. A lifelong lessons of that you don't have to go to the streets, because he knows and I know both, because I've had an opportunity to be in this community so much that there are young men that the streets get a hold of. But you have one, when you say your life was written for you to rise to the top, you are one of those young men that is on that path. And that's why I chose that song. I said it was a great song. My main man, Hood Diesel, produced that song, and I asked him when I heard it, I said, man, can I use that for my opening and closing of my show? And he said, I can be. So understand, you, that song gets me to shaking when it comes to a person of your caliber. Now tell me this, what has it been like the last 48 hours of Brandon's life?
Volunteer fans blowing me up on Twitter and Facebook, trying to get me to follow them back. I got like almost 1,500 followers in one day on Twitter.
Wow. Wow.
All straight volunteer fans.
Man, and they say this, that's a heck of a fan base. It says a heck of a fan base.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you this. What has it been like locally in your community and throughout Broward County once you arrived back home? What was it like locally as far as your fanfare goes? What are people saying to you now?
Everybody's, they're happy, you know. The last person that made it big was Shoelace to come out of Deerfield. So, you know, everybody supporting me, everybody behind me, all my friends in the neighborhood, everybody. Some people actually stopped by my house just to say congrats and hope the best for me, just when they heard that I committed to Tennessee. So, you know, everybody that happy for me, everybody looking forward to seeing me in the next couple of years playing on TV for the Tennessee Volunteers.
In the SEC, one of the best football conferences that you can play in, and when you want to talk about achieving that dream, be to go to the next level. And Brandon, you're doing it. You continue to be the student athlete that you are, man. And come next week, I got a major treat that I'm working on for you on the field, and that's when we're going to do that in the day in the life of, and it's going to be a spectacular treat for you. So I'm not going to reveal that right now, but it's a special treat that you're going to love. Somebody's flying in town to work with this young man, because you are going in as a slot receiver, so that means you got to learn to do what? Run routes.
Yeah.
So someone is coming to town. Bibbs, he got a special guest that's coming to town to work with him that very few guys get that opportunity to, and they're coming to South Florida next week to work with Brandon Powell on his routes.
Let me ask the question before he get out of here. You say you chose Tennessee to volunteer. What tip of scale as far as Tennessee? You know, with Tennessee basically rebuilding, new coach. You know, what made them, you know, the front runners to get you to commit to become a volunteer?
That was one of the main things, you know, is new coaching style. So everybody, they're not going to be in the favoritism. Everybody's going to have equal chances. So, and then sitting down in the office with Coach Jones, talking to Coach Jones, he say he loves guys from Florida with speed. So he don't care if you're 5'5", 5'9". So he loves you. As long as you got speed and you can play football, he loves you.
Right, I think everybody loves, you know, kids from Florida with that speed, man. That's what football is becoming, you know, a speed state. A speed game, more so, you know.
Yeah.
But I just want to know, you know, Tennessee's kind of been on the bottom of the SEC last couple of years. You know, they have had that great. I just wanted to kind of, you know, pick your brain and see what made you, choose Tennessee with them, you know, not being at the upper echelon right now. I'm not saying that they can't, you know, get back there. But I just kind of wanted to see what made you choose Tennessee. But congratulations, though, man. I really, bro. And, you know, just keep up that hard work that Tony was talking about. We'll definitely see you, you know, on the field this year and then possibly in the NFL soon, you know. Keep that good work up.
Appreciate it, man.
Hey, man, I know grandmother is probably – she's probably getting a little nervous because she know the time is dwindling down. People, let me tell you something. He's very close to his grandmother. Very close to his grandmother, and that's why I said grandmother's getting a little nervous. What was her thoughts when she found out that you would be leaving the state and going to Tennessee? What was her word of encouragement to you before we leave? What was she saying to you?
She was real excited for me because she was like, now one of her babies making it up back to college. You know, nobody in the family hasn't made it since my dad, and he actually was in Memphis, Tennessee, so. She was like, just back to Tennessee we go. She just came back up there to Tennessee.
Hey, you made grandma all day, man. I'm guaranteeing you made grandma all day. She made her month. Her year.
that it is, you know, because like I said, you know, I run into grandma quite often. As a matter of fact, I was in the flea market one time, and I'm sitting there, you know, getting some flyers done up, and grandmother and B come in, and they getting shirts ready for the game with his picture on it. Man, she is a proud, proud grandmother. What it was, you know, what was that like, B? Because you never got a chance to talk about it. What was that like when she started recognizing that her baby had something because a lot of colleges were wounding him? What was she saying when she was saying all these offers? Did she understand? Did she understand what that meant?
Yeah, she understood because, you know, she been through it with my dad.
Okay, yep, that's correct.
And all the things that happened to him. All she was just telling me that she stay on top of me every day, making sure I'm healthy, my body good, and make sure I'm eating good and everything, and making sure I'm staying out of trouble. Anything I needed, she'll be there for. And she just wanted the best when he wanted me to keep playing football, and that's all she wanted.
Okay, all right, because I guess you know you're going to handle your business in the classroom. Hey, man, enjoy yourself because I'll be seeing you up early. So you and I both will need to get some rest because guess what? The second half of our week begins again, grinding, 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 folks, and that's his motto, grind it out. You can follow B at B. What's your Twitter page for those that other people that would like to follow Brandon Powell on Twitter?
My Twitter page, you can find me at PowellBT4.
Let me tell you something. B, when I need something tweeted out, I call Brandon because I know he got a lot of followers. And I know a lot of young athletes follow him. So I tell him because you're working with these young guys. They've gotten me into this Twitter thing. You know, I remember me and him at the train. I said, now set me up a Twitter page because I want to, you know, I know y'all doing this Twitter. So they set me up. That's after B. It took him a while to get me to buy an updated telephone. You know, they beat me to death.
You gotta catch up, man.
They beat me down about it. I mean, summer after summer, they was beating me down. Coach, you got to change, man. He got to change. But they got me updated. He got me on Twitter. I even got my own Facebook page. I'm on Facebook a lot, but that tweeting thing, that's something new to me, but I'm going to get down with it. But B-Man, hey, see you in the morning, bright and early, because we got to get it done. Talk to you later. We're going to go to a commercial break, and we're coming back, and we're going to talk Aaron Hernandez and his issues. Have we found out why Tim Tebow has come to town here on the Tony Sands Show.
Ladies, whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're Miss Independent and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, cause sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins and wraps and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking for an appointment, call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress. Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty B. If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raising the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G. Strange when you're raised in a dope pole. No food if you can't get your dope sold. My uncle just died and it can't be. Tell me this, who made it?
I already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me.
Stress get thick, but I won't fold. Devil hoping that I switch, but I won't go. Riding in my whip, I'm a lonely. On the side of the Lord, where I'm gon' be. Swerve, but I take back control. Home time, looking back at the popo. Sharp smell blood in the blue sea. In the streets, they'll kill for a Aussie.
Now, we're back here on the Tony Sands Show. We had earlier Brandon Powell commit to the Tennessee Vols here on the Tony Sands Show, talking about his weekend trip to Auburn and to Tennessee. He chose Tennessee. But, B, let's get into this Aaron Hernandez situation. We talked about Tim Tebow last week coming to the New England Patriots. Did Bill Belichick know something that we didn't know and thought, I got to get Tim Tebow because I can use this guy as a tight end, because I'm having issues with both of my tight ends, one having back surgery and the other one with his legal situations may not even be with us. And now all of a sudden we see this week breaking story with Aaron Hernandez. Was Bill Belichick a genius? And what he was seeing again.
You know, I think I made a mention to this last week, and I think that, you know, Bill Belichick had something under his sleeve when it came to, you know, signing Tim Tebow. Like we already knew he wasn't going to play quarterback, you know, because Tom Brady was arguably the best quarterback in the NFL is still a New England Patriot. And
correct.
So I always thought, you know, well, Tebow has that size and that athleticism to do other things than just play quarterback.
Correct.
And with that being said, like I said last week, I think that I would love to see the opportunity or see him get the opportunity to be have another position on the field, you know, to get the ball in his hands and to make plays, you know, with his feet. Because that's what he was best at, making plays with his legs. So,
correct.
You know, and with the question you asked was, did I think that Belichick has something under his sleeve? Definitely. I definitely think that he has something under his sleeve when it comes to Tim Tebow. Now, I don't know if it has to do with, you know, any connection to do with Aaron Hernandez and his legal situation. Possibly. Big possibility. But
now, people don't...
again, I think that he does. I think we will see Tim Tebow have another position or have some type of role on the field with the New England Patriots this upcoming season.
And for me, I can possibly see this role being in that tight end, especially the way New England uses their tight ends. I think in the beginning, they just let him stay at the quarterback position because Bill Belichick, I think, didn't want a lot of this stuff to come out about Hernandez too soon while you're bringing him in as a tight end when you supposedly have two tight ends, which would have spurred questions. But now the questions are out because folks that are listening, and if you don't know, Aaron Hernandez at this point is not being, as the police said, is not being investigated, but there is things surrounding him with the possibility of the body of an unidentified man was found Wednesday. A 27-year-old man, Odom London, was found Monday evening about a mile from Hernandez Sterling House in an upscale subdivision. Lord was shot in the head, sources told ABC News. His body was discovered in a clearing near the boulevard, John Boulevard, not far from the vehicle that had been rented by Hernandez, the sources said. Now, you got to understand, Hernandez is also, there was a lawsuit out against Hernandez for shooting mistakenly, as shooting a guy in Florida. And that he was in the car with, but there was no charges ever filed in that situation. So, where there's smoke, does there appear to be fire in this situation?
Oh man, Tony, like, what is this guy thinking? Like, what is, like, who is he associating himself with? And I mean, I don't understand why he's even, you know, in these situations. Just to start with, like, he has football season ahead of him right now, an upcoming season in which is going to be a pivotal season for him because with the injury to Gronk. You know,
correct.
He's probably going to be their number one tight end, you know, if everything works out in his favor, you know, if he's able to stay out of prison, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
He'll be the number one tight end this year, definitely. But I just don't really understand, like, how do you get yourself involved in these type of situations? Like you said, he, from what I've read, he's not an actual suspect
correct.
That happened in Boston, but at the same time you shot an associate of yours in the face with a handgun accidentally. Like, why were you? I mean, from the story where they got into an argument, well, why were you pointing a handgun at this man's face or anywhere towards this man from the beginning? You know, just, I mean, we all know guns are dangerous. You know, any time. Subtle movement or any movement at all could cause a gun to, you know, fire. And you mean, you shot this man in the face, he lost the eye, he had multiple surgeries, he has on his face and his arm and his hand. You know, like, you kind of ruined this man's life for the rest of his life, you know. He's going to live a different way the rest of his life. I just don't understand why this is happening. I really don't even have an answer for you, Tony.
But this is my question. And this is the part that puzzles me that I've never heard of so often. Here we are in this day and age. This guy you know, and people, you know, according to ESPN, Ed Waters, the attorney that's representing Alexander Bradley, the man who claims he was shot by Hernandez after the two argued upon leaving a Miami nightclub in February. And I'm going to tell you something, and I don't know in too many cases here in Florida, because I live in Florida, to where you can shoot a man in a car and there is never charges where the state doesn't pick up the charges. Because yeah, once you go to the hospital with a gunshot wound, the police are being called. And there's questions that's got to be asked. And if, at least this guy said his buddy mistakenly shot him, wow. And now it doesn't come out to now. To here we are in June going into July, and this story is just hitting the surface. And I think it just hit the surface due to the fact that there was another incident that have his name attached to it with a gun, possibly, you know, where you rented a car. And is it the story to where, you know, we know sometime your buddy got a car and him and somebody got into it, and all of a sudden now we dealing with a situation. I'm hoping in Hernandez's case, this is, has nothing to do with him. His car was just in the area, but to attach him to a shooting and a rental car, that means the police know something that they're not really revealing. If you didn't, you found this guy, and I'm trying to get a clearance, a clarification, that they find this young man in the car, or that they find him next to the car or around the car. I haven't gotten a full take on that, but to attach him to that.
I don't mean to cut you off, Tony, but from
you go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Is that, you know, this guy that was murdered was dating the sister of Aaron Hernandez's girlfriend. So that's how they were connected to each other.
So the guy was dating. So the guy's dating Aaron Hernandez's
girlfriend.
Girlfriend, sister. Wow.
Right, and that's that's the story. And that's how Aaron Hernandez's name is
being brought up.
Along with the car being in the same area, you know, of the body being found. That's how he's connected to it. So they don't want to say he's a suspect yet, but just because his name, you know, is come up in two different, you know, occasions. But I mean, they really have no choice but to really make him a suspect, because they don't know who murdered the guy yet. You know,
everybody's a suspect until we find out who the suspect is. That's how they go. Right. And going back on our earlier story, when we talked about the shooting here in Miami, a spokesman for the Miami-Dade police told USA Today that he was checking to see whether a report was filed. Checking to see was a report filed. Now, if a report wasn't filed, and I'm quite sure that means, guess what? Did the hospital do their due diligence in this case? Or did this guy say he mistakenly shot himself? But I'm quite sure a doctor know the difference between a self-inflicted gunshot wound and a gunshot wound from someone else. And I think that's where it's going to come into effect. Did the hospital do their due diligence? You know, and that's going to be the question. Right. On this whole situation, I think, and with it, this coming to light, and you got to figure Hernandez, you know, is on a 5-year, $40 million contract. Is this something that we'll continue to follow and continue to bring you updates here about our Aaron Hernandez here on the Tony Sands Show? But hey, let's get into some basketball, because that's what people want to talk about, basketball. Heat buzzer beater. Now, can the Heat say, hey, this is why we pay the money for Ray Allen? If it's not one game during the season, is it this game that they say, this is why we bought a guy like Ray Allen in? And Ray Allen played, I think, 40 sub minutes?
Yeah, you know what? It not even the Heat being able to say that, because, you know, Ray Allen took a lot of backlash for him leaving the Boston Celtics to join the Miami Heat. He can say, this is why I left to go play with the Miami Heat. First of all, they have me in a championship, and they're giving me an opportunity to make shots that need to be made in crucial times during the game.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
Like, so that, and not to mention that Miami, yeah, this is why Miami brought this guy in. He's one of the greatest, if not the greatest shooter of all time. Why not bring somebody like that in? He's still in shape. He still can play defense. He still can do other things on the court other than shoot the bat, than shoot three-pointers.
So correct.
Perfect fit. Perfect fit for a team built like they're built. Perfect fit.
If I look at that game and I say to myself, and, you know, I talk about – we talk about Michael Jordan, and I tell young men about Michael Jordan, and they say to me, you know, oh, LeBron is better. LeBron is better. LeBron. And I say, okay, well, when you talk about greatness, you must talk about championship, because a great one must have championship, because if you look at all the great quarterbacks like a Troy Aikman, John Elway, these guys have Super Bowls. But then when you look at Dan Marino, there's always that asterisk by his name of great, because he wasn't able to get a Super Bowl. And when I look at LeBron, and I looked at some critical points in this game, and I know LeBron brought it back in the, you know, close range, but I also saw someone that was supposed to be great kind of, you know, put the Heat in a situation to where that game could have went either way. Could have went either way. When I look at it, and I look at the fourth quarter, and I say to myself, the two guys that stood out in the fourth quarter to me was Chris Bosh and Ray Allen. Chris Bosh and Ray Allen. That was critical, because it always takes me back to those two turnovers that LeBron James had in critical situations when it came to that game. But I see Chris Bosh stepped up, and I said it last week, if they are to win this series, Chris Bosh would need to step up, and I think he stepped up in this game when they needed him to be the big man that they brought him in, when they said the big three that Eric Spoelstra needed him to be. And he just flat out made sure that last shot was not going to get off. He did that. But I'm going to tell you know, we talked about some while ago, we talked about, you know, on the Tony Sands show, we talked about the Heat fans. We talked about how I said here in South Florida, where were these fans before LeBron, post LeBron James, or post first game championship? There was no Heat fans. The Heat was hardly ever talked about. And if in that game, you got to remember, there was a lot of fans that left that game in the fourth quarter and did not even see the Heat come back in that game. So now, it tells me this. Do the Heat, really? Heat fans? Are you really Heat fans? Or are you just championship riders? Because if you're a true fan, you stay to the end. You stay truly to the end to watch your team win or lose, get it down. You support your team throughout everything.
I'm assuming that people in Miami have a little bit more money than us people in Texas, because I'm not leaving no game early. I pay my money to see a full 40, however many minutes is in a basketball game, I pay to see those minutes, whether it's a blowout or a close game. And I'm not leaving, because I don't want to miss nothing.
So exactly.
You're saying that people last night were leaving the game when they were down, what, 7 points?
Yeah,
they were leaving thinking the game was over with a minute left?
Yep.
Nah. Tony, that ain't a true fan, because you know, you never know. Just like last night, you never know what your team, if you really believe in your team, and you know what they're capable of doing. And what I've seen in the past for different, like some heroic performances of comebacks, you know, I'm never leaving no game. I'm definitely not leaving the finals game. Never.
Yeah.
I'm kind of shocked that you're saying that the people were actually leaving the stadium. I really wasn't paying attention to the stands, because it was one of the greatest games that I've ever seen in the NBA, you know, ever. So, you know, I was not really paying attention to the fans, more so the game. So I didn't notice that they were leaving, but I believe when you say that, they probably were. You know, they probably thought it was over, just like a lot of people in the world thought it was. This is over. San Antonio's won their fifth championship. Tim Duncan can go out on top. Not so fast, what LeBron said. Not so fast, what Ray Allen said.
Yeah.
You know.
I seen Ray Allen, you know, I seen him play with the Celtics, but that's the first time I saw him get so emotional in this game. But let's talk about also now, because we only got about, you know, a minute and a half to talk here. You know, the Celtics talk is back on. As we talked about that last week. You know, the Celtics talk was, as earlier today, they said the talks had cut off, but now they're back. Do you think, and let's wrap this up in about 30 seconds, do you think Boston rebuilds, Doc Rivers, Kevin Garnett head to the Clippers?
Right now, I would have to say no. And I only say that because reportedly Boston's asked for 2 number one draft picks.
Correct.
You know, and I don't see the Clippers giving up 2 number one draft picks and DeAndre Jordan, you know, to the Celtics. You know, not 2. Now, maybe if they were asked for 1 and possibly another player in the deal, then, yeah, I see it happening. But they still have to negotiate with Doc Rivers, even if he's traded to the Clippers. They have to negotiate.
Correct.
He has to agree. So
it's not
final until he agrees to a new contract, because he's still under contract with the Celtics.
That's true.
So, you know, I don't know. I don't see it happening right now. But it's a lot of time to go till we see to next season. So it could still possibly happen. But right now, I think it's dead.
All right, give me your prediction. We got about 30 seconds left to go here on the Tony Sands Show. Folks, thank you for joining us. Your pick, this next game, the last game, game 7. Who you going with?
I can't go with Miami because I'm from Texas. And so I'm going with Spurs. 7 games. They've been there before. I think they could do it. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough, tough, tough series. I mean, a tough, tough, tough game. But I think they can do it with their experience. But that's it.
I'm going Miami Heat. I'm going Miami Heat. I'm in Miami. Bibbs is in Texas. He wants San Antonio. I'm not a Heat fan, but I say I'm going to go Miami Heat in this game because I'm going to tell you something, man. I'm going to be in the sports bar. Hey, we got 30 seconds left. Guys, thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show. And as you Miami Heat fans and as Wade and LeBron said, just stay a little longer, he said. Stick with us. It's all good. Coming from the voice of LeBron James and D-Wade, stick with us here on the Tony Sands Show as we continue each and every week. Me and Mr. B bring you the hottest sports topics throughout the nation and the hottest players throughout the nation. Thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show. Until we see you next Wednesday, rise to the top.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raising the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped in it.